From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of A Message in Stones, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to hear this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning is found in Mark chapter 2 and verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Faith is full of inventions. The house was full. A crowd blocked up the door. But faith found a way of getting at the Lord and placing the palsied man before him. If we cannot get sinners where Jesus is by ordinary methods, we must use extraordinary ones. It seems, according to Luke 5:19, that a tiling had to be removed, which would make dust and cause a measure of danger to those below. But where the case is very urgent, we must not mind running some risks and shocking some proprieties. Jesus was there to heal, and therefore, fall what might, faith ventured all, so that her poor paralyzed charge might have his sins forgiven. Oh, that we had more daring faith among us! Cannot we, beloved, seek it this morning for ourselves and for our fellow workers? And will we not try today to perform some gallant act for the love of souls and the glory of the Lord? The world is constantly inventing. Genius serves all the purposes of human desire. Cannot faith invent too, and reach by some new means the outcasts who lie perishing around us? It was the presence of Jesus which excited victorious courage in the forebearers of the palsied man. Is not the Lord among us now? Have we seen His face for ourselves this morning? Have we felt His healing power in our own souls? If so, then through door, through window, or through roof, let us, breaking through all impediments, labor to bring poor souls to Jesus. All means are good and decorous when faith and love are truly set on winning souls. If hunger for bread can break through stone walls, surely hunger for souls is not to be hindered in its efforts. O Lord, make us quick to suggest methods of reaching Thy poor, sin-sick ones, and bold to carry them out at all hazards.
Thank you. Jesus, our shore. Forever he reigns, forever his word will endure, Faithful I will be, faithful I will be. I will praise our God on high for his faithfulness to me, for his
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, you may contact us by phone if you wish at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 6, God instructed Joshua to take 12 stones out of the dry riverbed and to set them up as a memorial on the Canaan side of the river. In addition, he was to set up a pillar of 12 stones in the riverbed itself. Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the question in verse 6, What mean ye by these stones? In dealing with that subject, he's been setting forth three observations, speaking of the past, the present, and the future for God's people. In the first place, the Lord intended these stones to be a perpetual reminder of his grace. It is the responsibility of every Christian to keep Christ's crosswork constantly in mind. Then, not only are we to remember God's grace, but it is his will that his grace be the perpetual experience of his children. Believers are called upon to have an up-to-date relationship with Christ every day. Thirdly, these memorial stones remind us that God intends his grace to be perpetually proclaimed. God's people are to carry the message of Christ's cross to all the world, and particularly to their own children. As the message of Calvary is preached, the Lord will raise up a testimony to his power among the nations of the world. Now concluding, a message in stones. Here is Dr. Cairns.
If there's going to be any breaking down in the chain of carrying the gospel with truth and spiritual reality. Let us bow before God by His grace. That breach will not start with me. That's what Joshua was getting through to the people to whom he spoke. It's an emphasis that is constantly repeated throughout the Old Testament. This is not a one-off thing. In Exodus chapter 12, when Moses was dealing with the children of Israel just before they left Egypt, this is the message, verses 26 and 27. It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, "What mean ye by this service?" Then ye shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." The very same thing in Deuteronomy. And I'm not by any means going to give you all of these. But Deuteronomy 6, verse 20 and 21. The same idea. "When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, 'What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded us?' Then thou shalt say unto thy son, 'We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand.'" That's the duty that we must take very, very seriously. Not just even as parents to children, but as adults to the generation coming. That should be the constant burden of every Christian in the Church of Christ. This is something that should burn itself, for instance, into the heart of every Sabbath school teacher, into the heart of every children's worker, into the heart of everyone who has contact with the generation that is to come. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, verse 4, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." That is God's ordained way of carrying on the message and the ministry of the gospel. And we must take it very seriously. The New Testament is no less clear. In Acts 2:39, we have the statement, "The promise is to you and to your children." But how are they going to hear? In Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." It's the very same emphasis in the New Testament as it is in the Old. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 4, there is a very important message to parents. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Very often, of course, that's exactly what we do. Sometimes the fault is among the children, because we live, unfortunately, in a very angry generation. But sometimes the fault is on the part of the parents. And the apostle says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." What's the alternative? "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now let's look at that injunction rather more carefully. Bring them up. What does that mean? Well, go back to chapter 5, verse 29. "No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it." That's the very same word that's translated, "bring them up." Nourish your children. Nurture your children. How do you do it? Nurture them in the nurture. The word nurture is the word discipline, or the word training. The training of the Lord. The word admonition is basically referring to the mind. In fact, the word mind is right in the word. And it's speaking of instruction. If you were to trace these words back to their most fundamental meaning, what the apostle is saying is, you should Nourish your children. Now understand, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about hard-heartedness. Not talking about viciousness. He's not talking about carelessness. He's talking about nourishing, building up, rearing with care and attention. How do you do it? You nourish them in the training of the Lord. And the first word that's translated nurture is training by act. And the other is training by word. And those two things must always complement each other. Nurture your children. Nourish your young people. Training them in the act and in the word of the Lord. Is that not the very message that we have been seeing again and again in the Old Testament this morning? This is something that is of fundamental importance to the people of God. We must remember God's mighty work at Calvary. We must constantly experience God's mighty work at Calvary. And we must constantly proclaim that work. But in proclaiming it, pay attention to home base. It's very easy to overlook that. I know people, I could name you people, who went around the world preaching every night of the week. Their world, at least. Very rarely ever spent a night in their own home. Very rarely ever were there to open the Bible with their own children. They gloried in the great work they were doing for God, and I could bring you to those families where one child after another has been cursed and damned. Oh yes, proclaim the grace of God wherever you can, but don't neglect home base. You fathers, you're not called when you bring children into this world. It is not your prerogative to run the world and neglect those children. It's not your prerogative. Don't neglect home base. It's a message there for the church. We place, for some reason, in the Church of Christ, we place a great importance on seeing the murderer, the adulterer, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the man on Skid Row, saved, brought into the church. Now, let me back off for a moment. In its place, that is a wonderful and very biblical burden. And never let us be above reaching to the lowest and the meanest sinner on the face of God's earth. But somehow or other, we have perverted that perfectly biblical burden to imagine that seeing a child saved in Sunday school is somehow of less importance. How stupid, how crazy can we become? Would you really rather see your child get to Skid Row before you ever saw him saved? No, sir. The old saying, charity starts at home, has a good basis in truth. If you don't love those that are close enough to you as your own children and the children in the same church, if you don't love them enough to see them saved, there's not a chance in the world that you'll love the man in Skid Row. Not a chance. We should, as a church, have a missionary outreach in this community and to the ends of the earth. But we must never neglect this first and basic duty to reach the generation that is coming up amongst us. We When you start going down the list of families in this church and you start going down the list of children, just mark every one of whose salvation you are not clear or sure. And you will see there's enough for you to be praying night and day, and to be laboring night and day. We cannot neglect this duty of presenting Christ, this generation passing on the gospel to that which is to come. That's the stability of the church. You know, the apostates love to mock Bible believers and fundamentalists because they say, and they have some history on their side here, that fundamentalists are never as strong in the second generation as they were in the first. Separatists are never as separated in the second generation as they were in the first. And the third is worse than the second, and by the fourth generation they're back worse than when they started. There's a lot of truth in that. Do you know why? Because one generation did not praise God's works and pass on His mighty acts to the next. That's how God wants the church to go on. And when we do that, this is the glory of it, our message will have an impact even to the ends of the earth. We have read in Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. Notice how it suddenly extends from your children, the generation that's to come, to the very ends of the earth. You see, the church that has a burden for its own growing young people cannot suddenly turn off an interest in souls and have no interest in the souls of men and women and boys and girls to the end of the earth. It's impossible. If you don't have a love for those that are nearest and dearest to you, you'll not have a love for anybody. If you have a genuine spiritual love to see your own family saved and the families of the church saved, that love will continue and it will spill over until you must go forth and tell the gospel to men and women wherever they may be. The Lord is going to raise a testimony to Himself among the nations. He has given us that assurance. He indeed says in Numbers 23, verse 23, that it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what God hath wrought. The ungodly are going to look when God moves among His people and blesses them. This is why we constantly pray for revival. When God moves among His people, the ungodly are going to be brought up short and they're going to be amazed and say, look what God is doing for His people. My, that's what we long for. Didn't the psalmist say the same in the 126th Psalm? Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. That's why our commission is to go to the world. Mark 16:15. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's our commission, yes. And our message will be powerful wherever we take it. So let's stand back and hear this question. This message of the stones. What do these stones mean to you? They mean that God has made His grace to be perpetually remembered, experienced, and proclaimed. And when we live like that, in the shadow of Calvary, in the experience of Calvary, proclaiming Calvary, we'll see results among our children, and we'll see results among the heathen. Therefore, Let us be sure of these three things. First, that we know the gospel, that we actually learn its truths. Second, that we feel the gospel, that it does mean to us everything we say it means. And thirdly, that we tell the gospel. Remember the words of the Savior to His disciples as He sent them out. As ye go, preach. As ye go, preach. It's a good motto. A great command. Let's know the gospel, feel the gospel, and tell the gospel. And I guarantee you, on the authority of that word, that God then will bless the gospel at home and to the ends of the earth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.